motivates us to do what we do in this world. Otherwise, we're simply just trying to somehow please our God by our actions, by our words, by whatever it might be. And I say this quite often, I know, but I think it just needs to be repeated all the time. Maybe it's just for my own heart. Because it's much easier for me just to simply obey laws. Okay, God, I'll do these things right here. As long as I do these, I know you'll be happy with me. But actually, when I begin to go down that road, I'm deceived. I have turned the work of Christ into a small thing. Because Christ has already, through his finished work, made me pleasing to the Father. I don't make him more happy or more pleased with me. I actually now live from a completely new mindset and understanding. I live now, as it were, by the grace of God and by the newness that has been placed within me by the power of his Holy Spirit. This is now what motivates me and drives me as I live here in this world. And this is why Paul says, for the grace of God, in the second chapter, in the 11th verse, says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. What did he just say? The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying all of these things, we would live in the right way in this world. It is grace that motivates us to do what we do. I'm not sure if we really comprehend that. It is the graciousness of our God that changes us as individuals, that makes our existence in this world what it is. And that's why he says, put them in mind then to be subject to magistrates and powers, or principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Well, how am I ever going to do that? You know as well as I do that we gravitate, as it were, toward bad. Somehow we dislike that. You know, if someone tells us some great news about somebody, we're just like, boring. But if somebody tells us some bad news, we're just all over. Really? That's what really happened? They did this, they went through that, this happened to them? Tell me more. Oh, did you hear so-and-so got a promotion at his job and a raise? Oh, really? No big deal. Did you hear so-and-so got fired? Really? Why are we like that? Because too often we live in the old. And I'm not saying that we all are like that. Perhaps it's just me up here. Maybe I'm just describing myself. We live in the old way of thinking instead of living in the new way that Christ has established and given unto us. where we now live, as it were, with a new mindset and a new understanding, which causes us to actually be in this world good citizens. To simply walk in obedience to whatever the laws are in our land, as long as, of course, we know they're according to the Word of God. And actually not to be brawlers and fighters, but actually to be like Christ, to be meek, and to show this unto all men. That's not human nature, my friends. That's not us according to our corruption. According to our corruption, we're exactly the opposite. Now, we all have our own personalities. I recognize that. Some of us are a little bit more meek, perhaps, than others. And some are more brawlers and fighters. But Paul says, look, this is the way it is now for you. Well, why is it like this? Why are you suddenly changing your mindset? Why are you, when you approach people, do you approach them from a different mindset altogether? Well, it's because of the grace of God. Because we ourselves, you see, in the verse, third verse, also were sometimes foolish, serving many kinds of lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hating one another. That's the description of the corrupted human being, my friends. And what Paul is doing here is he's writing now about the human beings who have been changed, who have been changed by the grace of God, who understand now what it means to walk in newness of life. No longer do they have this kind of mindset or behavior. They live in a far different way because they live, as it were, inspired by the power of the Holy Spirit, and they live this way in every facet of their life. Because after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, notice what he says in verse 4. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Spirit, we have been changed. We have been made new. Everything about us has changed. This morning in Bible study, we were talking about, out of Ephesians, the second chapter, we who were dead, whose conduct was according to the dictates of the flesh, all of that has been changed. We have been raised now to newness of life. We have been given life now in Christ, and now we live in this way and in this fashion in this world. Why? Well, we understand the mercy of God. We understand that God has been merciful to me, a corrupted human being who did not deserve his mercy, who in fact, according to the flesh in its corruption, deserved nothing but his wrath. But it doesn't matter what I deserved. It matters what the grace of God now speaks to me through the Word. You see, this is what I really want you to get this morning. It is the voice of God that speaks this message to you this morning from the pages of his holy word. It is his voice now that sounds out these words. You now who were dead in your trespasses and sins, he hath quickened, he has made alive together with Christ Jesus. It is because of his finished work now that you have been raised from your deadness unto life. You are united now to the Son of God. This is now what motivates you and brings you onto newness of life. It isn't something that you manufacture or do in your life. It is your union now with Jesus Christ that identifies you as a human being in this world and directs you and guides you to live out your life as well. And he says basically what I just told you, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That being justified by his grace. Those are some powerful words, my friends. To be justified is to be made what? It's to be made right. We are justified. We are made right with our God by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says now, that's what we rest in. We rest in his grace. We understand our union with him now. And this is now what identifies us and motivates us in our lives. So Paul says that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You know, there's no way for me to really get this point across clear enough. Our union with Christ. And that's why I started off this morning with the baptism of our Lord. Well, it's the baptism of our Lord Sunday, according to the calendar. He himself joins himself to the human race. He joins himself to us and then makes us new. When are we ever going to realize that? When are we ever going to live in that manner and go out into this world and let them know what God has done for them in Christ and watch as the grace of God manifests or reveals itself unto people by the power of his Holy Spirit? We are justified by his grace, and we are heirs now of eternal life. Eternal life is ours. And Paul says, this is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly. That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. You see, I have no ability to maintain good works apart from Christ. Because apart from Christ, all my works are tainted by sin. They might look good to other people around me, whatever it is that I might be doing, but they are tainted because I walk in a corrupted human shell that is headed for corruption. And so therefore, the only way that my works can be accounted as good to our Father, who alone is good, is my union now with him. There's nothing else then that can ever bring me to good works. Sometimes Lutherans are accused of like not promoting good works because we hammer grace so much, by grace, by faith, by the word. But actually, how do I say this so I don't sound too haughty? we have the right understanding. I guess that perhaps sounded haughty. But nevertheless, this is the truth. It is our union now with Christ, now that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, that we are able to maintain good works. Good works actually just flow out of us because the goodness of God now dwells within us as the body of believers. God now dwells with you and me corporately by the power of His Holy Spirit, giving us the ability now to live out our lives in service to Him, which is carried out how? Well, by serving one another. So you tell me, how are we serving one another if I'm hateful? If I'm speaking evil of people constantly? If I'm a brawler and a fighter? How is that being serving to one another? How does that exude the love of Christ? Notice what he says in the end of this eighth verse. These things are good and profitable unto men. There's one way for you to understand good works this morning, and one way only. Your good works that you perform in this world are not for God. Your good works are for me, and they are for your fellow brothers. These things are good and profitable unto men. God does not need my good works, because God has given me the ability to do good works, and my good works are for a horizontal level. They're for others around me. This is why Paul says the work of the church is about edification. It's about building one another up. It's about supporting one another, confessing to one another, journeying with one another, picking up those who are weak, carrying them if need be. Your good works, my friends, are given to you from God vertically down to us, and then we distribute them to the people around us. It's good and profitable for you if I come to your house and stack hay bales. I know you don't do that so much anymore. But whatever it might be, it's good and profitable for men, which is what Paul is saying. This is how the body of Christ now works in this world. It works under the proper understanding of who is the head, first of all, which is Christ, and then your ability given to you through Him and His work. And now you're able to actually live. Because when we are under law, when we are under stress, when the law is just held over us as a demand and a rule, we will be under duress. And you will see Christians who live like this all their life, constantly going through this over and over again. I am such a miserable person. I am such this, that, or whatever it might be. Never understanding fully the grace of God, because they find themselves constantly in bondage. And the Word tells us that if we are in Christ, we have been set free. No longer is it a journey or a laborious thing for me to do something for someone else. It's just what I do. And so Paul says, avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law. He says, avoid those things completely. Why? For they're unprofitable and vain. They're foolish. He says, maintain good works, for they are good and profitable unto men. But, he says, all of this fighting, all of this bickering that goes on within church people very often between law and all of these things. He says those things are foolish. And guess what? They profit nobody. It is the grace of God that profits all men, not our contentions about it. This is what we are to understand as we live out this new year, which we are a couple weeks into. We now live as the renewed creatures of God. We have been made new through the work of Christ and by the outpouring of His Holy Spirit. This is now what motivates us to move and to live in this world and to maintain good works. Because after all, I'm free. I'm free to live. I'm free. I'm not in bondage any longer. I can't be. It's sad when you find people and you encounter people in bondage. It's the saddest thing for me when I confront people who are constantly in bondage. They find themselves wondering, how are they ever going to ever get right with God? How am I ever going to do these things? What am I ever going to do? And you want to say, well, just cut it out. Don't you understand what has been done for you in Christ? Don't you understand what Paul writes about? But I understand the human condition as well. And so we stand up as preachers and teachers of the word, and we repeat these things over and over and over and over and over again. Because it's good for you. It's good for you this morning to hear about the grace of God. It's good for you to understand that there's nothing that you can do to make God more pleased with you. He is pleased with His Son. And you, in your union with His Son, are pleasing to Him as well. It's good for you to understand that the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon you, and you now are able to live out your life maintaining good works. It's good for you. The grace of God. It's good for you. Why? Because that's all you got, my friends. That's all you got. There is nothing you're going to present to God on that last day, whether it's when you suck your last breath here in this world or He appears in the heavenlies. That's going to somehow make Him more pleased with you. It is your union with His Son that has already done that. So, let's recite the words of John chapter 8, and let's actually believe it. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank You again for Your word. We thank You, Father, for all that You speak to us from it. And even this morning, we ask that You continue to bless us, continue to be with all of us as we live here in this world, as we go about doing our daily duties. Remind us of Your mercy. Remind us of Your grace. Remind us of the work that You have done on our behalf. And then, Father, help us to go out and live like it. Help us to live like You have made us, as new creatures in Christ. This we ask, Father, for the sake of His blessed and holy name. And now, Lord, bless us and keep us. Make Your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lift up Your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.